This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared word for word in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Reverend Dr. John Dickey.
Okay, good afternoon. Welcome to this hour of His Word, word for word, here at HICF. Always thanking God for the opportunity to share His Word. It is what we live by. It is our life. It's our breath. It is what inspires us. It is what gives us hope, the Word of God. That Word is life and spirit, and it's living in each person that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. In life, sometimes you go on searching for something, spend resources, time, money, and yet you can find, or probably working hard to solve a problem. It is taking everything, your time, your money, risk involved, and sometimes you just want to take a break. Well, even in some of the puzzles that we work out, crossword, or all these puzzles, want to fit in one puzzle that will bring all things together in place, and you can find it. Sometimes it is good to take a break and to reevaluate. Why is it taking you time? Why all these efforts? The risk involved in some of those findings, and you want to ask, are there better alternatives of doing things? Maybe you need to consult with others. So it's very important in life sometimes just to have a break, to reevaluate things. And I believe the same thing in our Christian life. Sometimes it's good to look at what is happening and what is not happening. Sometimes we miss something. And I found out that John 3:16 is very central and critical in the life of each believer. If you remember, I asked a question sometimes back. I said, if supposing tomorrow is the last day of humanity, what do you think God will have his pastors, evangelists, ministers in the house of God preach from the pulpit? Well, to me, I believe it will be John 3:16. Because this single verse holds a lot than we can ever imagine. You see, in John 3:16, it talks about who God is. For God, so the word God. What does that mean? We talked about it. It talks about God and man before the fall and after the fall. It talks about love of God, the gift of God to man. It talks about the judgment of God as well in John 3:16. It talks about paradise and lake of hellfire, all in John 3:16, if you are careful to read. So much is packed in John 3:16. Now, when we talk about paradise and lake of hellfire, some will say, where is it in John 3:16? Well, it talks about if you reject this gift of God, you perish. Where will you perish? In heaven? In the presence of God? So when we talk about paradise here, we're talking about eternity with God, ever with God, living in the presence of God. While lake of hellfire, it's eternity with God, without God, sorry, away from the presence of God. So paradise, eternity with God, and it starts from now. God with you, Emmanuel with us, facing life with assurance God is with you. While lake of hellfire also starts from now away from God, without God. All right? If God is real, which is true, He's real, heaven is real, paradise is real, and hellfire too is real. Now, I just want you to note something here. When we talk about away from the presence of God, it is more than the away from the presence of God when man failed God during the fall of man. You know, after eating, they ran away from the presence of God. They left the presence of God. And then subsequently, we see the chaos in this life because they were away from God, from the presence of God. It is different. Hellfire is different. It's real. Yes, it's another hellfire to be away from God, just like we are in this world, away from God, except for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have invited Him into His life. They are, God is with them. But otherwise, John 3:16 talks about people that are dead. They are not having life, even though they are walking, eating. All right? But they are dead. They don't have eternal life. So, hellfire is real, as we can see in Revelation chapter 21 verse 8, it talks about, it says what? But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Brothers and sisters, hellfire is real. It's more than just away from the presence of God. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for this moment as we look into your word, especially as we continue to talk about what is love. This is the love that you brought yourself to this world, and many do not understand what this love is. I pray as we continue to look into it that you give us understanding. It's talking about you. And 1.5 hours is never and can never help us. I mean, we can never understand what love is. It takes the whole of our lives. And even hereafter, it's about getting back into your presence. Convict us that we need you now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. So a quick recap of how far we have gone in this series of Unpacking John 3:16. Part 1, we talked about, do you know John 3:16? Knowledge is important. Understanding is a different thing. But do you know what is in John 3:16? Part 2, it talks about who is God. Who is this person called God? Part 3. What is love? What is love? And that is where we began last week, and today we'll continue on what is love. For some of you that have missed part 1, part 2, if you look on our website, we have the audio of those sermons there. We just want to go directly into continuation of what love is. As I've said, this four-letter word holds the key to man's solution, literally, to every problem man is facing. The question is, what is love to you personally? What do you understand? What is your understanding of what love is? Other people, what do they say love is? Last week we talked about some say love is the feeling you feel when you feel you are feeling a feeling you feel you have never felt before. So poetic. It's just like hearing it, so rhythmic that it will be like a lullaby for you. Yes, that is what one person said. Well, that boy, what is love to him? It is when you don't go to bed with him, you don't love him. to the so-called spiritual among us, when they are in desperation, hopelessness, despair, they forget exactly what love is. All they want is to satisfy their needs. They say, set aside all the spirituality, especially to the brothers that are rigid. They don't want to hold them. They don't want to kiss them. Don't want to do this. And they say, you don't love me too. Let's put aside the spirituality. Let's talk about the physical reality. I'm a woman. I need that comfort. I need that hug. And I need that. Well, is that love? If love is all about feeling, is there any little wonder why we are in trouble? Once that feeling is off, love is gone. What does the world system say love is? The government institutions, the NGOs, the corporate firms, the business world, the entertainment world. What is their definition of love? What is love in your culture? What is your love in your tradition, your belief and faith? You know, something just dropped in my mind about what the government, our world system, is saying about love, especially government. Do you realize government institutions in their constitution has nothing to do with love? It is just laws. You obey, you are a good person. That is just love. You know, European Union don't want anything to do with God in their constitution. But in stark contrast, look at God's kingdom. The very first nation under God, Israel. God talked about love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the government of God. Love is number one. While in the system of this world, government doesn't care about love. All they know is about the constitution. Love your country. That's all. Science too has defined love as a cocktail of chemicals, reactions in your brain that can be triggered by many factors. Are we at the mercy of those triggers? What is AI too? The God of AI saying, what is love? The devil too has defined what love is, even though he's devoid of it. You know that? He lied to you many times that this is love through somebody, only just to realize it wasn't. You yourself know you have fallen maybe in love, and you know now it is not love. Love at first sight most of the time. God has defined also love. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has defined what love is. He has expressed it, demonstrated it in John 3:16. Now, everybody has his say about love, as I've listed. Who says it that matters? Who says it that matters? So we went back to John 3:16 because that is authority. That is what, whatever the Bible says is a final authority for a believer. So last week we began to look at what is love in the context of John 3:16. I will read that John 3:16, read it over and over again. I believe so much is packed there. And if you are sensitive, the Holy Spirit will be unfolding what is in that. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. In that discussion, we realize that God, love, life is one and only one thing, God. God, love, and life is one and one thing, God. He is the eternal life being talked about in this John 3:16 when it says, shall not perish but have eternal life. He is the eternal. God does not give love. God gives himself because he is love. And life and love cannot be separated because it's all one thing, God. So what God gave man is what man is lacking, and man couldn't afford it, and without which man is dead. Although man was living, eating and drinking, but there is something that is lacking, life. But not the kind of life of just the eating and drinking. The word of God in John 3:16 qualified it as eternal life. That is what God in us. The meaning of Emmanuel, God with us. If you remember last week, I asked the question, what will you wish or love to receive as a gift from someone who really and genuinely loves you? Something you already have? Or something you don't have and you can't afford, and yet it's critical that you have it? Will you go for something that you don't have, or something that you have? It does make sense. Automatically, you will go for something that you don't have, something you cannot afford, and somebody is willing to give it to you. So it is with that understanding we came to the conclusion that love is given, and given what the recipient does not have. Now, based on this understanding, we also found out something with regards to this truth, that love is given, and given what the recipient does not have. In life, you set to look or search for something, especially in mining. You may likely stumble on something that you have not thought of, something like other precious stones. Or just like any archaeologist, in their excavation, they are careful about each inch of chipping away the art they do. Similarly, when it comes to the Word of God, it is advised, be open-minded when reading the Word of God. Because God will reveal, even though you go in there to search for answers, solutions to your needs, be open-minded. Because God is able to reveal many things apart from what you may be expecting to find. Similarly, in John 3:16, as we were looking into it, what is love? What is love? And we found that love is given what the recipient doesn't have. We stumble on something. We got a revelation from this understanding that if love is given, and given what the recipient does not have, as seen in John 3:16, then John 3:16 reveals the position of God against any sexual orientation other than heterosexuality. Man and woman. Man, naturally woman. We saw at creation, after man was created, God gave man what man was lacking. God gave man what man was lacking. Not another man, not a dog, not a horse, not three, but a befitting companion, a female. Therefore, we concluded any gender orientation other than the creation of God is a departure of God's creation, and it's a sin. Homosexuality is a sin. Man to man, lesbianism, woman to woman is sin. That is from John 3:16 as well. From the understanding that love is given, and given what the recipient does not have. Today, let us continue unpacking John 3:16. Today, let us continue unpacking John 3:16. What is love? Keep this in mind of these two or three points in this new definition of love in the context of John 3:16. That is, love is given and given what the recipient does not have. What are the points? Very important, that love is given. Given what the recipient does not have, that is number two. And three, given what the recipient cannot afford, even though it is critical to his living. It is very important to know that God was not blind to the needs, to the other needs that man has. He was not blind to the diseases and poverty, injustice, calamities in the world. Yet he chose to give what is essential, eternal life to man. In other words, eternal life was what man was lacking, not the life of eating and drinking. Today we will continue to dig deeper into what love is in the contents of John 3:16. We will also want to look and evaluate how important is this gift that God has given us. Let me just ask, what is the best gift and what is the best gift of all time? What is the best gift and the best gift of all time? Can you think of one? Okay. Yeah, I know you can be spiritual and say eternal life, but set it apart. What will have been your second one? All right. Well, for me, if you say we set aside eternal life from God, the second one will be my parents. They brought me, God used them to bring me, and then my wife, my children, the body of Christ in those other. Amen. So let's look at what the qualities of the best and all-time gift. I have some lists here. A gift that does not expire or fades. A gift that meets all needs. A gift that never runs out. A gift that is in season and out of season. Wow. A gift that fits all and can be used for others. A gift that cannot be stolen. Wow. A gift that transcends into the hereafter. That even after I die, that gift is still there. A gift that is available to all mankind. To all race, to all countries, to the young and the old, to the blind, to the diseased, to those that cannot talk. It's available to all. What on earth can be compared with such a gift? Think about it. What on earth? But the problem here is, how many will be happy to have such a gift? I guess everybody. But is that true? The problem that I'm talking about it is with such a gift. Because there are people that will have a problem generally with this kind of gift, simply because they will wish to be the only ones having that kind of gift. He will say, no, why? Because that is reality, practical reality in our lives. You know, how many are so proud that in the whole of their campus or little community, they are the only one having that kind of a shoe, that kind of a bag, that kind of a car or an e-bike. And once people start asking you, where did you get it? You are not forthcoming. You just enjoy it that you are the only one having. That's the human nature. But thank God, this gift is for everyone. Everyone can have it. And the one that is giving it will never run short. And you can share it and still have it in abundance. Hallelujah. That is what manner of gift God has given us. Eternal life. That love is eternal life. That love is God himself. And there is no end about God. Nothing can destroy God. God is love. God is eternal life. As seen in John 3:16. So God, love, eternal life is one and one thing. In John 3:16, we did not see gold or silver, power or authority. What God gave was the best of all gifts, eternal life. That was what man was lacking, eternal life. So in summary, thus far, all right, what we are having here, God's love gives the best gift of all times. And that gift is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 to 19, I will read. So that we can appreciate the gift that God has given us. He says what? Talking about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Wow. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. In other version, all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. 20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. John 3:16. This is what God gave us. Wow. Yet God gave him up for us. What manner of love is this? Just take a moment to say, God, thank you that I'm so worth this. You love me. You gave Jesus Christ with all this, what I will say, CV, with all these attributes, with this reality. He's the only one with all this. And yet you gave him for us. Thank you, Father. Let this sink down in you. This is who you are, so valuable to God. It's like, can God give so much for nothing? You are worthy. You have value. And remember, if God could do or could give, could go to this extent to get you what is critical and central for your living by giving one and only Son with all these attributes, with all this reality of who he is, what else will God refuse you? Just let that come to you in the hour of need when you are asking God for something and it's not forthcoming. Remember the gift he has given you. No any other better gift is left in heaven. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your gift of love. This is love. This is what is called love. All right, refreshing our mind again. What is love in the context of John 3:16? Is love is given. Love is given what the recipient does not have and cannot afford, even though it is critical to his living. Love is given the best gift of all times. Hallelujah. The next one we want to talk about is the evidence of true love in our lives. Evidence is very important in our lives. Evidence of who you are. In these days, in our world today, if you don't have that international passport, you are nobody. You are a dangerous person. You cannot take flights. You must have an evidence, identity of who you are. In our perverted world of injustice, they are still looking for evidence. When you allege something happened, evidence is needed. You know, there are those moments, it is true of what you are saying or what happened, but if you have no material evidence, nobody will believe you. Now, when it comes to love, feelings, or passion, evidence is important as well, I believe. Also, when it comes to faith in God, yes, it is true, faith without which it is impossible. Without it, it is impossible to please God. But you know what? I think God has given us enough evidence to have faith. In reality, I believe our faith is not totally a blind faith. God has given us enough that we can behold, touch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I think I believe if someone claims he or she loves you, you want to have evidence, isn't it? Nobody will say that I don't want any evidence from the person who claims he or she loves you. Have you heard of that kind of a thing? That somebody just say, I love you, and you say, I don't want evidence. I know he loves me. Okay, let's do some exercise here. If somebody claims that she or he really and genuinely loves you, how would you like it to be proved? Number one, now listen. Do you want that person to tell you he or she loves you? Number two, or are you okay that you believe he's imagining in him that he loves you or she loves you? Number three, keep it in the heart, she or he loves you. Number four, demonstrate the love by sending a gift to you. Number five, demonstrate the love by being present to give the gift. Now, we had this during the online service, and we quickly took a statistic. We found out that people picked number one and five. I don't know what you're picking. Number one says to tell you he or she loves you, and number five, to demonstrate the love by being present to give the gift. All right? Now, the fact is, without demonstration or expression of love, the genuineness of that love is in question, is in doubt. Hallelujah. Therefore, we know if God is love, if God is life, if God demonstrated or expressed himself, love then must be demonstrated or expressed in person. Is that what we're doing? Demonstrating, expressing it in person? If love must be demonstrated or expressed in person, what does it mean then to say as a child of God, when you say, I love you, God, or I love you to others? Now, I just want you to say, as you are listening to me, I don't know the last time you have said, God, I love you. I love you, Lord. Say that. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Now, saying that does not mean that truly you love, because anybody can just say it and doesn't mean it in heart. So when you say, I love you, Lord, how is it demonstrated? Well, the first thing, when you say, I love you, God, there is a condition. You can't say that, and you will not be able to love God if you are not born of him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. You must be loved. You must know that you are being loved before you can love. You must receive that love in you. John, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Summary of that, love gave birth to us. Thus, we are children of love. Therefore, if you are with me, if you understand what I'm driving at, if love gave birth to you, you are a child of what? Love. Therefore, your full names will be what? Peter Love. Mary Love. John Love. Are you understanding? Are we together? Maybe probably you don't still get me. If report comes to us that so and so person did something in such and such place, we will just want to know, what is the surname of that person? because by the surname we want to determine whether he or she is our sibling or is a child of another father from us, different from us. Now, I'm not making up this. It's in the Word of God. We will know. Let's see it in the Word of God. There clearly it talks about child of God or child of the devil. And if we are siblings, we have the same father. And his name is love. It's God of love. 1 John 3:10. This is how we know who are the children of God. Did you hear that? And who are the children of the devil? Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child. This is the Word of God. I'm not saying it. Anyone who does not. So you can say, I love God, but are you doing what God says? If you are not his child. Nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. Are you hating people? Then you are not a child of God. Children of God? Children of the devil? I want to ask you, whose child are you? Whose child are you? Are you a child of love? Is your surname love? Hallelujah. Now back to the question, when you say, I love you, God, what does it mean? Or what should it translate to? Let us do as Jesus did. He is our brother. He is our shepherd. It says what? Like father, like son. Jesus said, verily I tell you in John chapter 5 verse 19, the son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his father doing. Because whatever the father does, the son does, like father, like son. If we are born of the father of love, and therefore we should love him as he loved us. Did we see how he loved us? How did the father love us? Let us recall how God loved us. Number one, he gave. He did not give anything, but he gave what we don't have, what we can't afford. He gave the best of all, the gift of all time. And nothing can be compared with that gift. It's the only gift he has. And what? He demonstrated or expressed his love in person. Now, if this is how he loved us, and if we are to do as Jesus did, when he said, look, I do nothing except what I see the Father doing, so also we can love God in the same way we see him loved us. He gave. He did not only give anything, but he gave what we don't have, nor can afford. He gave the best of all time gift. He demonstrated or expressed his love in person. He came. He came into this world fully God. Yes, so how do we love him? We love him the way he loved us. The biggest problem is this. What can you give to a God who has everything? What best gift can you give to the God whose every of his creation is the best and perfect? The only thing that you and myself can give to God, I believe two or more, is to give God your heart. Two, to lay down your life for his friends. Jesus, God, has many friends out there. And if you are his friend, he's asking you to lay down your life for his other friends. He says in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. God laid down his life for us, and he's asking us, we can share it out. We can lay down our lives for others. Therefore, when you say you love God, it means laying down your life. By what? Loving God first with the whole of your heart. acknowledge you are not your own, and letting His will be done in every aspect of your life, surrendering to Him, total surrender to Him, bidding the pleasures of this world goodbye, but now ready to please Him in every way. In closing today, concluding on the question of what is love in the context of John 3:16. Love, again, number one is given. Given, number two, what the recipient does not have and cannot afford, even though it is critical to his living. Number three, given the best. Given the best. What is the best that you can do is giving God your heart. Love must be demonstrated or expressed in person. We saw how God demonstrated His love. How are you demonstrating love to God? What it means, we saw what it means to say, I love you, God. First, you cannot say you love Him if you are not born of Him. You must be a child of love. And if you are a child of love, do as the Father did. He laid down His life for you and others. No greater love than this. Have you received this love into your life? Or otherwise you cannot love Him nor love others. This love is the basis of you rightly loving God Himself, loving your stewardship in this world, loving others to the point of laying down your life for others. If truly and really you love God, it must be evident beyond words. It will or should be demonstrated or expressed in person to the world around you. In our world that is broken, world of hatred, wickedness of every kind, especially towards those that really, truly love God. But don't be afraid to lay down your life. Remember, this eternal life you receive from God is God Himself and cannot be destroyed by anything visible or invisible. Let us all, brothers and sisters, continue in this love of God by loving Him with all our hearts, demonstrating His love in person to the world around us. The world need this love. They need God. That is what is lacking. And thank God we have received. We have received and we don't have to keep it. We have to pass it on. We have what they don't have and can't afford. Let us give it to them. Love is given. And not just given anything, but this eternal life. This God. They are blind, but we can see. Let us lead them. They are dying. We have the eternal life from the Father. Let us share it with them. This is the evidence that we are children of love. We should love them as He loved us, so that all together will go back to the Father of love. God bless you, child of love, children of God. Freely we receive, let us also give out freely. Amen and amen.